Welcome to Narratives. James Gould was famous for his beautiful printed and hand-coloured depictions of Australian birds. But it was his wife, Elizabeth, who produced the bulk of this wonderful work. In this first chapter, she encounters Gould in his workroom and is fascinated by all she sees.
Bruton Street, London, 1828. Stepping down from the carriage into the mad bustle of Bruton Street, it was as if I'd entered another world. Towers of wooden crates stamped with exotic destinations piled up around the entrance to the Zoological Society's headquarters as delivery men jostled to unload more treasure from the back of a horse-drawn van. I jumped back just in time to avoid colliding with two scruffy youths as they wrestled an oversized crate to the ground in front of me. A finger and thumb protruded through the broken slat in the crate. Unable to resist, I stooped down to inspect it more closely. The hand they belonged to seemed almost human, I thought, except longer, the skin much thicker. I looked over to where the two men had hurried off to unload more crates and wondered if I should tell them to take more care. But as I peered into the darkened crate, I was too stunned by the quiet creature's shape. I could not judge whether the beast had expired during its voyage or was a taxidermist's precious specimen in need of repair and restuffing. It was rare for an animal from foreign climes to survive the seaward journey to London's docks. Even if, by grace, the creature was alive at the voyage's conclusion, after clearing port, it was unlikely to thrive. Some thought it was the climate that disagreed with the animals, the little known about their feeding habits, the effects of the loss of a mate and family. I feared it was these conditions and more. They were pining, alone and imprisoned, parted from all they knew and loved. At that moment, I was feeling displaced myself. It was difficult not to feel a little apprehensive as I waited beside my brother to enter his place of employment. Charles had been hired as a stuffer by Mr. John Gould, who rented rooms from the Zoological Society to conduct his business. Behind the shop front window, a striking scene had been posed. A bear cub, a red stag with impressive antlers, and several English garden birds wired to a stump of tree limb. The mounted specimens were dusty and matted, their hides and plumage faded to a greyish brown. I wondered aloud why Mr. Gould advertised his trade as London's leading animal stuffer using such common varieties. Charles explained that sunlight caused the hides and feathers to fade, and while a rare or exotic animal might well be more likely to catch the attention of passers-by, the damage would devalue the mount's worth. How ironic, I thought, that the best way to care for such treasures was to keep them out of sight in cabinets, under cloth and key. What's the strangest creature you've encountered at Mr. Gould's? An ostrich, if I recall, said Charles. I pictured the specimen laid out on a work table, its muscular legs and cloven toes and ridiculous plumage spilling over the edges, its long neck lolling. Did he need many men to sew up the skin? Yes, several, Charles laughed, and a few strong clamps. He once repaired a lioness in the viewing room of the British Museum after a removalist tore its thigh on a cabinet edge. My brother's eyes lit up. Oh, and then there was the Thames whale. Several summers ago, a whale calf beached itself in an estuary. Mr. Gould shocked all the taxidermists of London by dissecting the rotting carcass where it lay, in front of a crowd. His assistant claimed he took a coach back to his rooms with rings from the whale's aorta slung around his neck like horses' yokes. Charles had entertained me with many such wild tales of the exploits of his employer during our coach ride from my lodgings on James Street. I still found it hard to believe that on the strength of my brother's mention of my passion for sketching and painting, Mr. Gould had insisted we meet, inviting me to his rooms to make him a drawing. Charles told me that Mr. Gould required sketches of some of the more unusual animals that he was called to work on to ensure their forms and proportions correctly represented their appearance in life. However, as his business had expanded and demands from his clients grew, he'd become frustrated at his lack of suitability to such a task. So here I was, summoned to Bruton Street for a trial. Charles touched my shoulders. Shall we proceed? I sighed and nodded, smiling at my nerves. A straggly-haired boy motioned to Charles. We entered the building and walked along a dim corridor, passing a room stacked from floor to ceiling with crates. Charles steered me to the staircase that led to Mr. Gould's basement laboratory, the stench of ammonia and preserving salts strengthening with each step. I hastily lifted my handkerchief to my nose. I knew from Charles's stories that the wide oak door we were approaching concealed the workshop where the stuffing was carried out. It was kept exceedingly warm, lit by a blazing coal fire, and I felt a little uneasy, anticipating the horrors he had warned me lay ahead. Charles held open the heavy door and I stepped inside, thrilled to be permitted into this strange environment. A long bench dominated the room, arranged into individual workplaces like settings for supper, each supplied with curiously shaped cutting tools, measuring tape, rags and tubs of stuffing flax and tow, and lit by a small gas lamp. Charles tied on a leather apron while I hung up my cloak and removed my gloves and bonnet, taking care to keep out of the way of the youths bustling in and out with tins and boxes containing the animals Mr. Gould wanted skinned. I drifted towards the back of the workshop, my attention caught by a menagerie of shorebirds. A godwit, several sandpipers, curlews, dotterels, herons, and varieties of plover. For a heart-stopping moment, the display tricked my eyes. It seemed the birds had flown into the room via a secret passage and, like children, settled before the warmth of the flames in the hope of being treated to a story. But as I drew closer, I could see that the birds were perched on wooden boards, each miming its own dramatic scene. The sandpiper probed for mollusks. One of the plovers preened his shoulder. The heron reared to strike. The curlew held a shell in the barber's tongs of its beak. The darter had drawn his long neck into a loop.
You've been listening to Melissa Ashley reading from her book, The Birdman's Wife. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan at Arts Campus BFM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.